No, Alhamdulillah. So, my phone will not be able to take, or my recording app will not be able to take the entirety of the discussion. So I stopped at obstructions or blocking, as I said earlier. I mentioned those ones that are treated as non-existence. If they were in slavery or they were the killers or they have a different religion, those ones are, it's as if they are not existing. They do not have any impact on the factions we want to. I want to share. There are what is called Hajj al-Hirman and Hajj al-Nuqsan. Hajj al-Hirman and Hajj al-Nuqsan are all under Hajj al-Shakhs, whereby the existence of a particular individual will lead to obstructing another. This obstruction can be in two types. It may be total, as in you have somebody who dies and leaves behind a father and/or a son. A father or a son. The existence of a father or a son effectively blocks siblings, male or female, from inheriting. So this will be called Hajj al-Hirman. The sibling cannot inherit, I mean, not to talk of the uncles, not talk of uncles or aunts. So this is Hajj al-Hirman, a total obstruction whereby the person cannot inherit at all. But what is called Hajj al-Nuqsan? Whereby this obstruction simply restricts the portion this person wants to would have access to in the Sharia. So give an example. The Sharia says that why the zawj rubu'un yakun waladun huna, the zawj in walam yakun rubu'ani. The husband of a woman that dies and leaves a child. Ordinarily, if the woman dies and there's no child, the husband will have half of her property, half of her property. If there's a child there, the husband cannot have the half again. He would have to have a quarter. So ordinarily, at the initial deal, husband would have had half. Because there's a child there, this child would block obstruct the husband from having the full portion he's supposed to have. This is what's called Hajj al-Nuqsan. Remember I mentioned that we have certain individuals that inherit all the time, fathers, mothers, children and husbands and wives. So these ones you can only obstruct them by reducing the portion they're supposed to have. So you cannot totally, you will always inherit all the time. This is what Hajj is all about. I hope we are following. So now let's imagine somebody dies. There's a tertib, an arrangement of how people will inherit these individuals. So the first thing we look at is that we look at those people after, okay, this is the way it works. Somebody dies, we go there, the shrouding, whatever is there for the burial, take from the property, if somebody's not giving sadaqah. After this, get the property, have an estimate of what the person owns, and knowing that even this person holds a biro, this biro belongs to all the people who are supposed to inherit it. Now we look at the people on ground. Are they the ashabul furud? People who have a portion that has been specified. Because this is what the Messenger of Allah said. He said, Al-hiqu al-fara'id bi ahliha. Give those people who have portions in the Quran first. The people who have specified portions in the Quran, give them their portions first. And then some of these portions in the Quran, I sent it in the PowerPoint and this thing. So the portions mentioned in the Quran are halves, quarters. Those who would have half, depending on circumstances, of course. Husbands, the girl child, the granddaughter, the female sibling, a quarter, wives and husbands will have this, eight, two-thirds, one-sixth, and a third also. All these are the portions mentioned in the Quran. So look, okay, who are this person left behind? He has left a father, a mother, and a boy, because the father is sixth. Give the mother a sixth. The rest will be for the child. Okay, the person left a father, a boy and a girl. Okay, give the father a sixth. The remaining will belong to the boy and the girl, and to be shared in ratio 2-to-1. Because when you have male and female of the same level, certain some circumstances, these children will share in the ratio 2-to-1. The boy takes two, the female takes one. At times, people criticize and say, why is it that females would be maligned? And then That's why I said earlier that you can't take just an aspect of Islam to criticize. You have to criticize the entire package. It's so, scholars have given a lot of answers for this. There are instances that the female may take more than the male. But more importantly is the fact that there is no point in the Sharia. Where Allah and His Messenger, the Sharia has left the woman uncared for. It is the responsibility, both religious and legal, in the place where the Sharia is being used, that women should be taken care of. When she's a daughter, it's the responsibility of her father to take care of her. When she's a wife, it is the responsibility of the husband to take care of her. Anything a woman needs, of course, which is what is mandatory in the Sharia. Not that she wants to buy Italian bags and say that she can probably buy this for me, of course. So, and when she's old, her children take care of her. Even if she doesn't have children, there will always be a male religion of her. It becomes his responsibility to take care of her. So that one portion they are even giving to her ordinarily is just to add to our wealth. At no point as a Sharia. So imagine there is a Sharia. I love somebody who doesn't have a child and she has a brother enjoying somewhere. The Sharia court will summon the brother and make a mandatory on him to pay her particular amount of money at certain intervals. This is the Sharia in operation. So when you talk about the female and criticizing this as our intelligence has done, they don't understand the Sharia. So also, remember earlier I mentioned that when you talk about killing, it's divided into about three. You have la'amd, that's deliberate murder, or homicide, case maybe. You have manslaughter, it's not deliberate. I was driving and I thought I saw a kangaroo or a gazelle, and I shot it and it became a man. I didn't deliberately kill this individual. So in that case, I won't be the one to pay the blood money, the 5 million I mentioned earlier. It's going to be my male relatives. We will not call the siblings also in. This thing is an interwoven thing. When I commit certain crimes, it's this third male relatives that inherit me that will bear responsibility. So Sharia is something that is interconnected and it's an entire package. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it before. So look for those who have a portion in the Quran, as much as Allah said, أَدْحِكُ الْفَرَائِضَ بِأَهْلِهَا فَمَا أَبْقَتِ الْفَرَائِضَ فَلِأَوْلَى رَجُلِ ذَكَرِ. Whatever now remains will be for the males that are the alphaba, as I said, would inherit the individual alone if there's no other person with a portion. So after those with a portion, we look at the alphaba, male relatives of this person. And then if there are no asaba and there are people who have a portion, would, and there's a residue of the estate, would give back to them. We call this rant. It's as we do the practical aspect of the mirath, we'll see this. Whereby, okay, let's say this, only two people are inheriting this person. And even after inheriting this person, there is a portion left. This portion will be shared back to these individuals unless there is asaba. Some of the Afaba who will inherit the entire property if there's another person are like children, fathers, siblings, even brothers who are siblings, you know, siblings also, brothers, sisters who are siblings, or brothers who share a father, or uncles from the patrilineal line, uncles, paternal uncles. All these ones, if the person dies and leaves nobody behind, they can inherit the person totally. Or if the person has somebody who will inherit, take for instance, somebody dies and leaves a mother and a paternal uncle, so the mother will take her own portion, and then the paternal uncle will take the rest. In that case, the mother will take a third of the estate, and then the paternal uncle would take the rest. So this is then if we do not have the people with the specified portion, we do not have the people that we call the asaba, and then in this category, after all this, then the scholars differ. Some said that we should give it to uterine relatives. The uterine relatives, people who are related to us through our mothers, like maternal aunts, maternal uncles. Some argue for this, while the Malikiya believe that rather the money should be taken to the public treasury. Other scholars said, Allah says, وَأُولُو الْأَرْحَامِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ بَعْضٍ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. That these people who are uterine relatives, ordinarily they're supposed to come first before the public treasury. But if I remember very well, current trends among Malikiya is that, okay, in a situation whereby the public treasury is not even there online, the public Islamic treasury is not even there, so they agree with others. So we can say that, yes, we'll give it to maternal relatives in the absence of the ones that we have on ground. So also, let me give a bit of example of, I've been giving some of them, let me give examples of some of this. What I'm talking about before I mention some miscellaneous examples. Let us assume that somebody dies and leaves a wife, a girl, a daughter, a father, and a male sibling. The zawja, the wife would have an eighth specified in the Quran. The daughter would have half of the property specified in the Quran. The father would have the father the father will have a sixth of the property, and then would take the rest. After that sixth, anything remaining will be taken by the father, because the palace was what simultaneously after that. So let's assume, that's one example. Another example, somebody dies, leaves the father, a grandson, a son, and a daughter. So what happens? The grandson will be shielded, obstructed by the existence of the son. So he will not be inheriting anything. The father would have a sixth. The son and daughter would have the rest, and they will share it, we show 2-1. So this, I'm giving broad highlights of miras. It's something very mathematical. So at times we find the fraction. I give examples that are very simple here. You may find fractions that are very delicate to deal with, and you'll have to derive the LCM. To derive the LCM and then share these on the percentage you get with the LCM. So at times we find some of, so those who traditionally do, will learn the Sharia, so at times I find them saying that one of the most difficult aspects of the Sharia is the miras. At times because of the brief calculations involving LCM and fractions that are involved. So I'm just giving very basic examples that everybody can understand. You can pick the Mus'haf, see the portions that have been highlighted, for like the example I give of the father, and look at what Allah said about if you have a male and a female child, the Zakarimith has in Sayyin, okay, very good translation of the Quran if you cannot understand the Arabic, and you also look at this week or so on. But there are far more complex issues in it. I just want to talk on some learners things, and then I'll post there, and then we'll discuss during the live session. Yeah, what about if the person dies and the wife is pregnant? I mentioned this, we delay the sharing, and then the second option will be share the safest for the child. Because the funny thing is that Islamically, if the child comes to life, cries, that we are sure that he was alive, and then dies again in birth, the child would have our own portion of the inheritance, because, as I mentioned earlier, the child was alive when his father died. So, these are some of the areas. What a person was lost, went missing. I mentioned this also. If the person got missing in circumstances that show that he may still be alive, the chances of him being alive are still very high. He would wait for a period of 90 years. That is, would make sure we are sure that he's dead. He can't share a person's property. Properties are sacred in Islam. But if the person dies in circumstances that we are sure that maybe in war or accident, and ulama said, okay, wait for 4 years. And I mentioned in the thing, saying that, look, critically, at times we know we need to wait up to 4 years, because if we know that the circumstances are circumstances that a person cannot survive for long. What about the hermaphrodites? You mentioned male, female, and some other things. What about we have somebody who is an hermaphrodite? How do we go about the inheritance? And this is why Islamic jurisprudence is something that is very strict, because it's practical. People are interacting with their everyday life. And then if you have somebody who is an hermaphrodite, the scholar said, we look, which is the stronger sex? Is it the male Is the male sex stronger than the female sex? Oftentimes, all they will say is that where is the person urinating from? I mean, biology was pretty basic those days. If the person was urinating through the penis, it's okay, then it means that the person is male. If it was urinating through the vagina, it's okay, it's female. It's okay. So I once spoke to a doctor friend who said that there's a test. I forgot, they'll take genetic material from the cheek and check which is the stronger sex. So if this can be done, then would do the sharing according to that. And then in those days, if the point of urinating is not very clear, they call this Khunza Mushkil, the difficult thing for that. They will not be able to decide which one is actually this person. So there are elaborate discussions about this. There are also different things that are a bit more complex, like the munasakhat. Like if you want to share an estate, somebody dies, you're about to share the estate, and some of the people who are supposed to inherit him also die. And of course, their own estate, they would have to inherit from the person that died first, and their own estate also will need to be shared first. So we have issues like those who die at the same time, al-garqa, wal-azma, those who died by drowning at the same time, and they're supposed to inherit themselves. These are more complex issues that scholars discuss in their thick books. We look at them and discuss them at the time, the time permits. There are also interesting examples that happen at the Jamaat Masjid Allah. This is just a brief discussion. I don't know to what extent I've been able, especially with an audience that this is just an audio, not very used to it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a everything. As the questions come in, we'll probably be able to discuss further. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik.